Ezekiel chapter 42. In the last chapter, I said that this temple that we're reading about in Ezekiel's vision could simply be metaphorical, and it is, because all of the temples that were created for the Lord's worship had metaphorical significance, and all of the ordinances of God that are set out in His law all have metaphorical spiritual significance. However, in the last chapter, I said that the temple in this vision that Ezekiel is having has to be the temple that Christ reigns in during the millennium. And that was because I thought in the future chapters like 47 that it only mentioned the offerings that are not associated with Jesus being on the cross. I thought it didn't mention the sin offering and the guilt offering. But actually, those offerings are mentioned in chapter 47, and I believe they're also mentioned in this chapter. The sin offering and the guilt offering relate to Jesus dying on the cross. Now that Jesus has died on the cross, there's no other offering for our salvation required. But the consecration and the fellowship and the thankfulness offerings, the offerings that we make to the Lord as Christians walking in His way. So you listeners will have to decide for yourselves, is this a metaphorical temple or is it the millennial temple? We know it can't be the New Jerusalem because the New Jerusalem is so big that it would stretch across multiple states in the United States, and it would cover a great deal of the United States if it sat there. It can't be Herod's temple because it's at least 3 times bigger than Herod's temple. It can't be Solomon's temple because it's about 16 times bigger than Solomon's temple. It can't be the third temple that the Jews are trying to create because that temple probably won't be big enough either. So it's either the metaphorical temple that most scholars think it is, which only has a spiritual significance, or it is the millennial temple. And the only reason I'm leaning toward millennial temple is because the dimensions are so concretely described, making you think that if it's metaphorical, the dimensions themselves must have some significance. But the Bible doesn't tell us what that significance will be, which leads me to believe that the significance is that this is a real temple. So honestly, I cannot figure this out. I'll just leave it to you to decide. In the millennial kingdom, all of the nations will come and give sacrifices, and God's people, those who are already saved, will reign with Him in that kingdom. So the miraculous thing about this vision, if it is the millennial temple, is that Ezekiel is seeing a place where Jesus will walk and reign as king over the entire earth. Because the millennial reign is when Jesus comes back after the tribulation, and there is no more war for 1,000 years, and He is the king of the earth. There will be other kings, but He will be the king of kings. All of the kings that are on the earth will all submit to Him and pay tribute to Him during this 1,000-year millennial reign. We'll read more about it in the book of Revelation. Verse 1, "And He bringeth me forth unto the outer court, the way northward, and He bringeth me in unto the chamber that is over against the separate place, and that is over against the building at the north." So now Ezekiel is leaving the sanctuary, and he's being brought by the angel that's guiding him back into the outer court area. During the millennial reign, there will be a need for an outer court area because women are still going to be having babies. So there has to be a place where people who are lactating and menstruating can go because that's where you're unclean. This also shows us that this is an earthly temple. Because in the New Jerusalem, nobody will be lactating or menstruating. No one will be sick because that's heaven. we will have our glorified bodies in the New Jerusalem. The angel is leading Ezekiel out of the sanctuary that he was in at the end of the last chapter, and the angel is now leading him to the north side of the sanctuary. He's going to end up in a 10-cubit long corridor or breezeway area that is in between the dining rooms and the kitchens for the temple, because when all these thousands of people are bringing in sacrifices each day, the Levites who are there will have to prepare their portion of the food for them and their families. So they need kitchens for the portion of the sacrifices that they receive for themselves. And then they need dining rooms to eat it, because they were prescribed to eat a lot of those sacrifices, especially the fellowship sacrifice at the temple in the Lord's presence. Sometimes the people and often the Levites themselves were eating in the presence of the Lord with him. This resembles the great wedding feast of the Lamb in heaven. When we get to heaven, we will eat with the Lord at his table. There's two sets of buildings that are outside the sanctuary on both the north and the south side. The closer building to the sanctuary, which has multiple stories, is the kitchens, and the building further out from that one, which also has multiple stories, is the dining rooms. And then further out from that would be the outer court and the wall that goes around the temple. I didn't mention it earlier, but the walls on each side of this square-shaped area of the temple, which includes the outer court, those walls are over a mile long, and they all have chambers built on the inside touching those walls. So there are lots of places for the Lord's servants to live and stay and work. 2, at the front of the length is 100 cubits at the north opening, and the breadth 50 cubits. The 100 cubits is how long the dining room building is on its longest side. So when you're going down the breezeway, that's how long you would walk along that building. 3, over against the 20 cubits that are to the inner court, and over against the pavement that is to the outer court, is gallery over against gallery in the 3 stories. This is a 3-story-high kitchen area that'll have multiple rooms on each story, probably for different types of sacrifices that have to be prepared, because there's grain offerings, there's offerings that are the fat of the animal, and then there's meat offerings and fruit offerings, and there's also wine offerings. So there's probably going to be different type of kitchens to prepare different types of foods. And the 20 cubits are the distance between the kitchen complex and the sanctuary. 4, and at the front of the chambers is a walk of 10 cubits in breadth unto the inner part, a way of 1 cubit, and their openings are at the north. That's the walkway or the breezeway in between the kitchens and the dining rooms. And there is one entrance on the north side for that breezeway. This is going to mimic what's on the south side. The north side is the right side of the sanctuary if you're facing it and you're standing on the east. And then the south side would be the left side of the sanctuary if you're facing it from the front. So right now Ezekiel is on the right side. 5, and the upper chambers are short, for the galleries contain more than these, than the lower, and then the middle one of the building. I believe this means that the top floor has smaller sized rooms than the second floor and the bottom floor, and this would help with the structure of the building. And this makes it prettier because it's making a staircase look going up the building. 6, for they are threefold, and they have no pillars as the pillars of the court. Therefore it hath been kept back more than the lower and then the middle one from the ground. I don't fully understand the architecture of this, but it is saying that for lack of pillars, they have made the top floor smaller than the middle floor, and the middle floor is smaller than the bottom floor for structural purposes. 7. As to the wall that is at the outside, over against the chambers, the way of the outer court at the front of the chambers, its length is 50 cubits. The kitchen building is 100 cubits long, but the dining room buildings are only 50 cubits long. 8. For the length of the chambers are to the outer court is 50 cubits, and of those on the front of the temple, 100 cubits. 9. And under these chambers is the entrance from the east, in ones going into them from the outer court. I think that means that the opening that gets you into the walkway is more toward the east than the west. The west would be the back side of the sanctuary. This opening is closer to the east, which makes sense because most of the action in the courtyards is going to be closer to the front, which is the east side of the temple. 10. In the breadth of the wall of the court eastward, unto the front of the separate place, and unto the front of the building are chambers. This is saying that there are chambers in the dining hall area. So there's different dining halls that you can go to. 11. And the way before them is as the appearance of the chambers that are northward, according to their length, so is their breadth, and all their outlets, and according to their fashions, and according to their openings. I believe it's now talking about the kitchens and the dining areas that would be on the south side of the building, which would look exactly like the ones that are on the north side of the building where Ezekiel started out. 12. And according to the openings of the chambers that are southward is an opening at the head of the way, directly in front of the wall eastward in entering them. The breezeway going between the kitchens and the dining halls on the south side also has its entrance on the east of that breezeway. You would be going in through the courtyard area. You wouldn't be going in toward the storage house area. 13. And he saith unto me, the north chambers, the south chambers, that are at the front of the separate place, they are holy chambers, where the priests, who are near to Jehovah, eat the most holy things. There they place the most holy things, and the present, and the sin offering, and the guilt offering, for the place is holy. This temple does accept sin sacrifices and trespass offerings. 14. In the priests going in, they come not out from the sanctuary unto the outer court, and there they place their garments with which they minister, for they are holy, and they have put on other garments, and there have drawn near unto that which is for the people. When the priests are in the main area with the people, they wear civilian clothes, but when they are serving the Lord in the temple, they wear the holy priest garments, but they don't wear those garments back home, so to speak, because those garments are holy, and they have to leave them with the Lord. 15. And he hath finished the measurements of the inner house, and have brought me forth the way of the gate, whose front is eastward, and he hath measured it all round about. The angel is now bringing Ezekiel to the front gate. This is the gate of the outer court, and the angel is going to measure the wall again that goes around the entire outer court. 16. He hath measured the east side with the measuring reed, 500 reeds with the measuring reed round about. That's a little over a mile. He's now going to measure how long the gates are that are going all around the temple area and the outer court. The gate is actually the wall. One side of the wall is a little over a mile. which means every wall is going to be the same distance because it's a square shape. This is a huge area. It's the size of a small town. 17. He hath measured the north side 500 reeds with a measuring reed round about. 18. The south side he hath measured 500 reeds with a measuring reed. 19. He hath turned around unto the west side, he hath measured 500 reeds with the measuring reed. So it is a perfect square, and in the book of Revelation we will see that the New Jerusalem is a perfect cube, which is 8 squares put together. And the New Jerusalem is massive. It's as big as a small planet, because it reaches from the earth all the way up into the highest part of our atmosphere, where it's nearly touching space. But this temple is not a cube, it's just a perfect square. 20. At the four sides he hath measured it, a wall is to it all round about, the length 500, and the breadth 500, to separate between the holy and the profane. That again is saying that it's a perfect square, and it separates between the holy and the unholy. So everyone who is outside of the temple is not holy. During the millennial reign, all of the nations will be worshiping the Lord, but that doesn't mean that they will all get saved and be his people. The people inside his temple will be those who are already saved, and they are going to minister to the world and make judgments with Christ. And that's why there won't be any war. These judgments will prevent war, so that people don't have to fight. They'll just get their answers straight from Jesus whenever they have a dispute. But I'm still really confused about whether or not this is the millennial temple or a metaphorical temple. And that concludes Ezekiel chapter 42.